the Public News Service DOAA Newscast, May the 11th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Arguing that politicians should never be able to force a person to carry a pregnancy against their will, a coalition of abortion rights groups is now driving a petition to let Florida voters have their own say with a constitutional amendment in 2024.
A coalition of abortion rights groups is now driving a petition to let Florida voters have their own say with a constitutional amendment in 2024. The multi-million dollar campaign comes after the Republican-controlled legislature approved a bill and Governor Ron DeSantis signed a law that would prevent most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Kara Gross with the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida says the petition gives an individual the right to decide what's best without government interference.
That the government will not interfere with the ability to have an abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the healthcare provider.
Fetal viability has generally been interpreted as about 24 weeks of pregnancy. Gross is calling on anyone interested to visit FloridiansProtectingFreedom.com to sign the petition, which needs close to 900,000 valid signatures. And if it makes the ballot, the measure will need approval from 60% of voters to pass. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Now from the Associated Press, U.S. Representative George Santos, infamous for fabricating his life story, pled not guilty Wednesday to charges he duped donors, stole from his campaign, and lied to Congress about being a millionaire, all while cheating to collect unemployment benefits he did not deserve. The AP reports afterwards Santos said he would not drop his reelection bid and defied calls to resign. And a bipartisan group of lawmakers has reintroduced the PASTOR Act in Congress. Danielle Smith reports the legislation would encourage investment in the development of drugs to address what some have called the antimicrobial resistance crisis.
The legislation would encourage investment in the development of drugs to address what some have called the antimicrobial resistance crisis. David Hyun with the Pew Charitable Trust says antibiotic resistance is due to not having enough new antibiotics that have come on the market in the last couple of decades. He adds the antibiotic pipeline has been pretty dry compared with where things were about three or four decades ago.
Our antibiotic arsenal is not the able to keep pace with the emergence of antibiotic resistance that we're seeing.
Hyun emphasizes that the PASTOR Act is creating an economic incentive for the drug development pipeline to incentivize and make sure that new antibiotics are being researched and developed and filling unmet needs and space for antibiotic resistance.
This is Public News Service. As part of New York State's 2024 budget, several billion dollars will go towards initiatives aimed at helping the state achieve its 2030 climate goals. Beyond that, school playgrounds are going green.
This includes $200 million to switch 20,000 New York families' homes over to cleaner energies. Outside of the budget, other methods are being taken to stretch the climate consciousness of certain spaces, like school playgrounds. Danielle Dank with the nonprofit Trust for Public Land describes the role these spaces can play in building a better climate future.
We figure that if there's an opportunity to make these spaces greener, it's going to directly benefit the climate conditions that a lot of communities face, which include extreme heat, include a lot of flooding. In particular, many of these spaces have been paved over.
She adds this process takes direct climate action by using porous turf. It also uses reflective and light-hued coatings on asphalt to cool those areas. The Trust for Public Land's 2021 Schoolyard Report finds more than 90,000 schoolyards across 2 million acres are covered in asphalt, and as global temperatures continue rising, those predominantly asphalt schoolyards will get hotter too. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
With original reporting from Marianne Denham, the story produced as a Solutions Journalism Network, Next City, New York News Connection collaboration. Finally, our Mike Bowen reports a few years ago, Minnesota launched a pilot program to give communities of color more power to improve outcomes for child development as they continue to address longstanding disparities.
At this stage of the legislative session, larger spending bills do include additional support for the Community Solutions for Healthy Child Development grants. An example of the support being used is child care training to better serve Latino families. Diane Halsey is with a key coalition that backs the grant initiative. She says they've been seeing overwhelming demand as the first wave of funding expires.
In this day and age, especially post-COVID, and a lot of the racial reckoning. Our communities of color are in desperate need of being resourced.
One spending bill includes $8 million for the program, while another sets aside $10 million for the biennium. Advocates say the higher level would make a big difference given the need and the request for aid. Even with the large surplus, it's unclear if the full amount would be approved with many other funding requests before lawmakers. I'm Mike Moen.
Nearly 24 local organizations were awarded grants during the pilot phase of the program. This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your day with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.